is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 24th of August, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. We got a full discussion, I hope another lively discussion today. Mr. Jace Brannon from Spectrum Politics is joining us to continue the discussion we started yesterday. And we started at the celebration of the 30th anniversary of the FNM's first time, quote unquote, taking the government, as they like to say, where Mr. Brannon asked the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Ingram, what's the ideological difference between the FNM and the PLP. So I want to start right there. Good morning, Mr. Brannon.
Hey, good morning, Erin, and good morning, Bahamas.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me again. I hope you don't mind. I want to open the conversation up to the audience as well to ask you questions. And in true Bahamian fashion, because I think you followed proper protocol at the event, to make a comment and ask a question, you know, that's what we do, sure. And we're good at it. I want to open it up and let people know that they can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Text us at 422-4796. That's 422-GR96, and that's powered by BTC, standard text rates apply. And so let's start right there with your question. What's the ideological difference between the FNM and the PLP? And then I want to ask you, because I only have seen clips, right, and sort of snapshots from the conversation, was this interview the post-election assessment that we were all waiting for?
I wouldn't say that it was. I believe the event was done in celebration of Mr. Ingram's time in office, his 15 years total, but particularly the first time that he became prime minister, leading the FNM to their first election victory in 92. So although Mr. Ace Newbull did ask a good amount of questions, I said this yesterday, but just saying it for the audience today, mm-hmm. If you want to see the full recording of that interview, it's available on the FNM's Facebook page. He did ask a lot of questions, and some of them were about the modern era and things that are going on now, but they mostly focused on what was happening in the Bahamas in the 90s.
Okay, all right. Would it give the average Bahamian or the young voter, like, tuning in and watching the recap or the recording, would it give us a better, a greater sense of context, right? Political history and national and social history to understand the current political environment and more importantly, the critique that political commentators like yourself and even older party supporters put into the public domain?
I think it would be instructive and helpful for people. It wouldn't be comprehensive. You have to remember that the context of the discussion, Mr. Ingram is talking to his own people. They support him, right? They love him. They voted for the FNM in some cases for generations. So a lot of them are already familiar with that portion of the history. So Mr. Ingram wasn't really taking his time to go back out and explain everything as it happened. Mm-hmm. But it was still instructive. And from my own research, you know, I haven't found many better opportunities to learn about that era than what I experienced last Friday. And all right. That's saying something.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you read his book, the former Prime Minister's book, the first volume of a series of letters and speeches and communications?
I've started to, yes.
Okay. Was there anything in the book that he shared at that event?
No, actually, he didn't mention the book, which I found surprising, but the book kind of speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And I know it's available at Logos Bookstore, as well as, I believe, some Super Values and some Solomon's Fresh Markets, I think.
Right. And I heard the now chairman of the UB board, Allison Maynard Gibson, a few months ago, mention or reference the idea or the intention to create a space within the university campus to house the Prime Minister's letters and the book and his collection of speeches and communications. And I think
I think that would be excellent.
Right, I think it would be a grand opportunity for Bahamians and for voters. And it's a great way to bring some of the politics, right, into the public domain. Because there's politics and there's governance, and there's a lot of politics that doesn't really make it to the surface, right? There's a lot of goings-ons mm-hmm. and happenings that would really help people understand why the Bahamas is the way it is right now and why politics operates the way it does. But then all of it isn't for the public domain, you know? All of it isn't for every ear. A lot of it is private. A lot of it is fascinating. And maybe the word I'll use is unprovable, right? But to create a library, to create a space like that would be a wonderful movement. It would be a wonderful opportunity for students of history, of politics, and of governance. It would probably be a great opportunity for the current leader of the FNM party, the Honorable Michael Pintard.
Nice segue.
Well, thank you very much to delve into. and really, I'm fascinated about the life and work of Hubert Ingram, his impact and his influence on local politics and governance, right? But I'm also extremely interested in the way forward FNM as a part of the larger political movement in the Bahamas. And so I want to ask you, what's the next step? You are a political commentator. You are I would go as far as to say, a political advocate. What do you think the next step is for the leader of the FNM, Michael Pintard, after having this event on Friday? I do want to say, the question is sort of preempted. I had this prepared for yesterday. You know, does he need to present his vision and strategy to the party and the people to establish himself as the new leader of the party? And do you think he answered that, right? Do you think he did that when he, in his interview on Morning Blend yesterday morning?
So I've been watching Michael Pintard since he's become leader of the Free National Movement, just out of interest. And I've noticed that his leadership so far seems to be focused on the internals of the party. We all know that the Free National Movement has a history of being quite, I don't want to use the word fractured, but there are many different factions within mm-hmm. the party. And that is always evident when there is a change in leadership. From when Tommy Turnquest became the leader back in 2002, I believe it was, from when Dr. Minnis took over the leadership after the defeat in 2012, and now Mr. Pintard taking over. So I think that
Pause.
Mr. Pintard...
One second. Don't forget the infamous coup when Ms. Loretta Butler-Turner came in as well. Yeah.
Right. And that just exposed just how many different factions there really are in the Free National Movement. And I think to an extent that continues today. So Mr. Pintard seems to be focused on trying to bring those various groups and stakeholders in the party together so that they could fight, in their opinion, their common enemy, which would be the governing party. I've not really seen Mr. Pintard do a lot of outreach and personal branding so that the Bahamian public can kind of get to know him and see what he's all about. I haven't really seen that happen yet, and I'm starting to wonder if perhaps our expectations are a little bit too high in that regard. I mean, it has only been 1 year since the general election, right? Mm-hmm. There is plenty of time to go. And generally speaking, I wouldn't say that new leaders focus on that branding stuff until the last 18 months out. I remember when Brave Davis first put out his, you know, my grandparents were subsistence farmers from Cat Island commercial, that infamous one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one didn't come out until we were really cranking up for election season, before the early election was called. So I wonder if it'll be some time before we really get to see Mr. Pintard do that kind of public branding and outreach. I always think politicians should do that sooner rather than later.
Well, I think it's...
But so far, I think he is... keep in mind, with Mr. Ingram having been in the shadows for so long with the Free National Movement, just the fact that he has been appearing at FNM events, speaking at FNM events, shows that I think he's trying to just show, hey, look, we're not doing the whole separation thing that may have happened under my predecessor. That's what it seems to be.
Right, a focus on internal dynamics. So I got two texts here quickly, and it says, great show as usual. I think Pintard is busy being distracted with Minnis, trying to take the crown back. That's what's important to him.
Boy.
And it should be because Minnis is a political animal. And then a text here that says, I think there is no ideological difference. Name one major policy that the FNM has changed post-Pindling that they were not forced to change due to international pressure. And so this person says there is no ideological difference between the PLP and the FNM. Is there an ideological difference between Pintard and the former leaders of the FNM, or what I call the old FNM party? Right? Has Pintard established a new political ideology for the party, even if it's an internal ideology?
When I listen to his speeches, I hear him talking a lot about fairness and this idea that we need to move past the tribalism era of politics where just because, this is paraphrasing, of course, he said this at, I think, his campaign launch when he was running for leader. He said, you know, just because you may be an FNM, right, I don't think that means that every single FNM in the world should be getting all of the contracts. If I become prime minister, it can't just be my party people eat. You have to let everybody else eat as well. And I'm sure that has been said in various ways before by other political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was noteworthy at the time that he said it because the response in the room was a little bit, I don't want to say hesitant, but I'm not sure they were expecting to hear that. I also heard some other things over the course of listening to him that I feel are promising national themes for him if he wants to continue on that trend. But really is me paying attention to his appearances in front of FNMs. I would like to see how that would differ if he's appearing to Bahamians or campaigning.
Right. And I didn't catch the entirety of the interview yesterday morning, but it seemed that he had a major focus on the things he normally focuses on, right, which is sort of socio-cultural, right, issues. And we see in the top of today's, I think it is today's Guardian, the question is, you know, is made. Davis tells Pintard do his homework on debt issues. So I thought your assessment of, you know, of his performance so far, because I have a text here that says, Jace, the man only has only been in power for 1 year. Way too soon to talk personal branding. They're actually agreeing with you, right? You said that already. It seems as if he's focusing on bringing the party together, right? Mm-hmm. Which to me suggests that he's already been told that we got to take care of. What we need you to do is build cohesion within the party. We see the prime minister telling him do his homework on debt issues. What do you think Pintard needs to focus on first to secure his position as leader in the party, both for the party and the wider public, and to entrench or re-entrench the image of the FNM as a serious party and having the capacity to build the country?
That's an interesting question. What I've discovered watching the PLP and the FNM's movements is that their party base or their respective bases, they are different than the average cross-section of Bahamian society, right? Mm-hmm. If you were asking me who would have been the better choice to lead the PLP, this would have been 4 years ago, the better PLP into the next election, based on the options, I would have told you without hesitation, Glenisanna Martin, because I thought that she possessed the vigor, she possessed the eloquence, and plus, if she was leading the PLP, they could say, hey, first female prime minister. I thought that that was really just going to be a shoe-in mm-hmm. for them. But when you look at the results of their convention at the time, Brave Davis won in a walk, essentially.
Yeah.
I would have said to the FNM prior to 2017, just looking at the ability to inspire persons and create a new coalition, I similarly would have said, well, maybe you really should consider Loretta Butler Turner, but we all saw what happened twice in a row when she ran for leadership of the FNM. So maybe that just means I'm a terrible pundit, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could also mean that what these parties look for and how they make their decisions is vastly different than how you and I might approach it on a talk show from an X's and O's, from a strategic point of view. Mm-hmm. So if Mr. Pintard wants leadership in his party, then it seems like focusing on that party, knowing the delegates, building associations, creating relationships, and, you know, creating that organic loyalty, that's probably the best way to do it. Now, I wouldn't be the best person to advise on how to do that. I don't know enough about inner party operations to make that recommendation. But focusing there as a start seems like a good plan.
Absolutely. I see the current administration, well, let me take a pause. I see I got two callers on the line. Let's go to the calls. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green, and your guest.
Good morning.
I guess he's a young person because he don't know what the FNM breakers from about 5 died from 72, from Henry Boston, run off with the party, Norman Solomon, all of them left the FNM and started their own parties. FNM is splitting up from the fight started. This ain't nothing new. Them fraction off. Ask any old FNM how many times they run off with the party and just split up, start up the NDP. They have different parties with us at hand. From 87 to 92, that the U.S. government wanted a change of the government here. Have you ever heard of an ambassador fly a government jet in any country and become the ambassador? That doesn't mean she's a U.S. government employee. But she can captain that DA plane and she lied and tell us who the American government wanted. See, that's that we didn't realize that.
Did you read that in a book? Where I could find a book?
But then I know the truth. I remember that Captain Miss Harlett, the U.S. ambassador, flew in town in the DEA jet that she captained. And she refused to speak to Finland. So now that U.S. then Dr. Dawson tell us, U.S. government don't pick for you, but they tell us who they don't want. never won. Because the FNM between, what is the difference between the PLP and the FNM? The UPP and the white people. White people never become FNMs.
Okay.
They joined the PLP.
That is a broad brush. I know plenty white Bahamians of European descent, Bahamians of primarily European descent that are PLPs. But I appreciate what you're saying. Mr. Brennan, have you ever heard that information that the caller shared with us just now documented anywhere?
I didn't hear some of it because it was a bit muffled, but I know at the beginning he spoke about the BDP, the Bahamas Democratic Party, mm-hmm. which was led by Sir Henry Bostwick, a fracture of the FNM back in the 70s, I believe it was. So
right.
That part of history is not something that a lot of people know about, but I do try to bring it up to people whenever I can. Yeah, the party has had its fair share of splits over the years.
I think Bahamians would be surprised if they were able to delve into that history, right? If it were documented and we could read it or watch a documentary about it, because the parties have done a great job of creating this image monolith, right? Of the unbreakable, the party, the uncoercible party, one leader, one man, one leader, all of this rhetoric. But when you delve into it, you realize that within the party, there's a lot of tension, conflict, and back and forth. But also that coming out of those dynamics were a number of third party or alternate parties being formed that were then, I don't want to say crushed, but that didn't survive, right? Didn't survive
right.
The political machinations. One of them I heard about was the Third Force. And I'm looking for more information about that as well. But it would give us a great sense of how parties operate and what we can expect from them. So I got another question for you. But let me ask the question, also send it out to the audience, and then we're going to go to this call. And start move the FNM and the country beyond partisan politics. But let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, good morning.
Great
show as usual.
Thank you.
The caller before me was speaking about how much time the FNM had breaking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find out if he's saying the PLP never had breakage. Because
no.
If I could remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
Christie left and went back. Ingram
mm-hmm.
left. There was a whole stack of PLPs that left and did their own thing from time to time.
Right.
So if he's going to talk about breakage, I think to be fair, we should mention both breakages and all the parties just to make an even field.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Not trying to make one team more damaged than the other.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And my next point is, y'all was talking about Pintard working on trying to regroup. And my question to the gentleman is, Mr. Brennan, is a house divided, can it stand?
Yeah.
If each division is paying its fair share of the mortgage, yeah.
That's the thing. What do we mean by a divided house? And I don't mean this as like a rhetorical question, but parties should have different points of view.
People
in these
political parties. Different points of view, but because
mm-hmm.
there was, especially when first I guess started with Loretta Butler Turner, there was her supporters. Then there was the Ingram supporters. Then Menace tried to conquer his supporters, and now you have Pintard supporters. So I think what Mr. Pintard is trying to do is make all no one supporters just FNM supporters. And I think that is trying to build a stronger team. So when they come out on the field, I think the results are going to show. I mean, that's how I feel. Now, I may be wrong, but that's how I feel
you,
that
right?
He is working towards. And he's leaving himself out of the picture because he don't want his supporters. He want FNM supporters. He
yeah.
want person to support
the
party.
It does seem like
that. Pardon?
Yeah, your assessment.
It does seem like that.
So I've never heard him use that sort of personalized language. I've never heard him draw the attention to him.
Thank
know?
You. And that's what I gathered from it, that he is working to to galvanize the party for the party, not the party for himself.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Whenever his time comes to step out,
yeah,
the party will still be held together because he has no loyal supporters.
I got you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's also a sound political strategy, right, Jace? Because you deflect any daggers that are coming at you, and you let anybody who may feel challenged by your presence, right, in the party, mm-hmm, that, listen, you have nothing to be afraid of. What is mine is yours. The power that I hold, we share, you know? It's a great
strategy.
Now,
the question is, right, how long does this hold up? Because I know his slogan is Forward United, or at least it was when he was running for leader.
Mm-hmm.
That slogan works so long as people play along, as people play nice with each other towards one common goal. What happens at the next convention if someone else decides to run for leader? You know, does that chip away at that kind of united image? I don't know. I guess time will tell.
Right. And it the onus is on Pintard to make the right move, right? And
right,
that will
right.
be for those who are watching, the voters and the donors, that would be one of the true marks of or measures of the man, right? I got another text in. Jace, this text is for you. It says, Jace is making a Republican mistake, as he just acknowledged. Westminster, we don't vote for the prime minister, which means a single person a la Martin doesn't factor into Bahamian voters' calculus. At party level, we vote for much more than vigor and eloquence. Hence, Martin and Sears and Wilchcombe will never win. Well, dear texter, tell me, what is it that at the party level you vote for, and what is it that Pintard brings that makes it to the party? But we got a couple more callers. Mr. Brennan, if you don't mind.
That's fine. I just wanted to
go
clarify.
On.
I have a few theories on how Bahamians vote, but they are evolving theories. I'm not going to claim to to know better than people who are in political parties. I can't claim that.
I got you. And I think we could make an assessment how the wider electorate vote at that party level. Oh, boy, fascinating. Well, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Daisy. Just talking away so long with you and your guests. Here in Pretty Eyes Green.
Good morning, Brayman. How are you?
We need justice, law, and order in this country. Until we get that, I ain't going to be all right.
I understand.
But what I want to ask the brother, right?
Yes.
Jakes? Now, you had the Magnificent Seven. Where are they sprinkled today? And also, you had Bernie Nordich had started a party. Bring me up to date on those two past parties. Thank you.
So the Magnificent Seven. Brayman, what's the range on that? Because I think I keep thinking of what I call the sorry seven that left Loretta Butler-Turner in the lurch most recently. Brayman, I think Brayman, we lost him.
Well, unless he's referring to the founding person of the FNM, I'm not certain which group, but I know about the CDR that Dr. Bernard Nordich helped found in the early 2000s.
Yes.
Well, some of their candidates are still hovering around the political landscape. I know the late Charles Maynard had a start in the CDR, and eventually he moved over to the FNM and achieved quite a few things under Ingram's time, passed away sadly. But good question. Where are the rest of them?
Well,
where are the persons who were in the BDM the first go around? What about the DNA in 2012? I can't answer those questions.
Well, for the CDR, I can say that two of my close family members, I will be it, Lisa Powell Cambridge and Stephen Daddio Mitchell were also two, I think, founding members or integral members. And Lisa Powell Cambridge ran as a candidate. But they unfortunately are both deceased at this point. I got another text here that says the DNA is broke, busted, and can't be trusted. I would say that they are no more. And that will lead us, Mr. Brennan, to another set of questions. I wanted to ask you what you think the ideological differences are between the two parties. But let's go to the road to 2026, right? Do you think we're going to see any strong third-party challenges in 2026?
I think that third parties are going to try. They always do. The question is there going to be able to capture a lot of attention and sort of take up some space in the room, steal some oxygen? And right now, I kind of doubt it because of the performance of this particular administration. And when I say performance, I mean the perceived performance of the administration. Mm-hmm. We know that when it's time to campaign for re-election, the PLP's PR will be firing on all cylinders, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Mr. Pintard, as a first-time leader of the FNM, is going to be able to shake a little bit of the baggage and the weight of previous FNM administration decisions. He's going to be able to say, hey, listen, I'm trying to start my own kind of program here. Give me a fair shake. And that will animate some people. Some people will want to keep things the way they are. You have the Coalition of Independents who said they're not going away in time for the next election. I believe they'll be on the ballot. I kind of doubt that they'll have the same impact that they did last time. But I don't really see, just looking ahead, where someone could come in and be a... This is, of course, barring any circumstance where you have maybe a sitting member of parliament leaving a party and starting something. That's kind of how Branville McCartney and the DNA got their start, right?
Kind of.
Unless that happens, I don't see it.
Yeah. I would say we are approximately, between 2 and 3 weeks away from the 1 year anniversary, right, of September 16th.
Yes, we are.
General election. And if we haven't seen any substantive activity, any real activity from a third party yet, we're not going to see it. We're not going to see a strong third party challenge in 2026. And I got a text in during the break. While you were talking, I thought it was a really good text, but they're jumping all over the place. Basically, with 1 year under the belt, do you think you can hold the helm of the FNM until the next election?
I think that any concerns that a sitting leader of any political party being replaced before the next election, I think they're all overblown. When you look at our political history, I can think of one instance where that's happened between the two major parties, and that's when Mr. Ingram came back. Obviously, you can see why the circumstances of the time might have caused that to happen. You had one leader that had led your party to a political victory in Mr. Ingram, did it mm-hmm. for 10 years, back to back. Then you pass the leadership on to a younger person, a younger FNM, Tommy Turnquest, can't get over the finish line, isn't able to win the seat in 2002. Of course, if people say, hey, let's bring back the only guy who has been successful at the national level for us, you know, that's an attractive proposition for some folks. Now, when you look at Pintard's position, who could replace him realistically? Are we talking about his immediate predecessor, Dr. Hubert Minnis? Well, his popularity is kind of in the toilet, excuse the phrase, but I don't see who could take it from him. And even if I could, history doesn't suggest that Bahamians like to change their horses just like that. Even after they lose elections, really, they still kind of like, yeah, let's hold on and try this again. So I don't see it happening personally.
You don't see a Shenandoah Cartwright challenging Pintard for leadership?
I'd be surprised if only because he just became deputy leader. And just based on Mr. Cartwright's personality, from what I can observe, I don't really see him making that challenge. Because then why didn't he challenge to be leader in this first lap? Do you know what I mean? If he had that kind of ambition or thought he was ready for it at this stage, I would have expected him to do that. I was saying that he should go for it. just from a political analyst point of view, but he said he wanted to be deputy leader. So I take that as his role for the foreseeable future.
Okay. I got a ton of questions, but we got callers as well. I want to let the callers engage equally and equitably. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Thank you for allowing me to engage for a few seconds.
Yeah, man.
And good morning to your guest. I'm also the political analyst. You may don't believe it or not, but I don't going into the next election. I don't think Mr. Bentard is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There'll have to be a strong approach by him to convince the FNM that he could be there, and he could be a showdown for the great prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think the member for Long Island is going to be leaving the villainous. Hopefully, make room for Dr. Sands to run and to win Long Island, then challenge Mr. Bentard for leadership. That's how I political forecasted.
Okay,
forecasted in the future, and I want you to write it down. I want this gentleman to write it down too, because I have been forecasting for a very long time as the one and only the original punk Anita. So,
I mean,
write it down.
I heard you saying that, but would you believe that I also believe that Dwayne Sands has a bid for prime minister in his future?
Yeah, because remember now, the FNM is still ruled by the UBB. They're still fueled by that sponsor, because the FNM cannot hold their own sponsor. They need the UBP, the what we call the Bay Street Boys, which is a part of the high quality of UBP. I know the gentleman say, oh, that's an old story, but no, that story is reality. And when you investigate it, it's still reality. So the reality, if he could convince them that he could be the leader and spend have a showdown with the great prime minister,
but
that's powerful.
That's a good point, Pumpkin Eater, but
right.
But here's what this rests on. Uh-huh. Is PM Davis going to be running again in the next election?
Yeah.
In 2026 or a snap election?
I would assume so.
You don't need to call it a snap election. Mr. Davis is going to run on his record.
But listen, with no disrespect, the prime minister is already an elderly man. In the next 5 years, we could use the word geriatric referencing the prime minister without it being an insult.
A good argument, because remember now, we always go across the United States. How old is the president?
Listen, did you ever ask me if I would vote for sleepy Uncle Joe Biden?
I think the average point is even he won, and the one who going against him are old, and I think my president, I call him my president, who they try to destroy, Donald Trump. How old is Donald Trump? He's going to go against them.
But I also have grave concerns about that political system to the north of us as well.
Right,
the insistence on electing geriatrics to attempt to solve problems they created and
that
couldn't solve happened. Themselves.
And that always happened. But locally.
Yeah.
Getting back locally, watch for... But I'm hoping, like I said, they leave it in the wilderness. Watch for Long Island hopeful seat. But in convention, they're hoping that Mr. Gibson is forced to resign, or he will have to resign based on this situation.
And
September. Well, I think it's based in September.
Okay.
But it's going to be a transformation. But the question is, can Mr. Bentard in closing convince the UBP strong supporters, the money supporters.
The FNM funders, we call it that.
We can call them FNM funders, but I'm from the old school.
Yeah.
We call them the funders then. In case that they're offended to you, we call them the funders. Can he convince them?
To support
to
him.
And the next general election.
Thank you.
We got money.
I got to go. Thank you so much. Very interesting insight. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, dear guest.
Good morning.
You know, I don't have too much to say about the political intrigue, because we love to talk politics, right? But I don't need to be an analyst, but I'm a political realist. And so we could forget about the former PM and his dehumanizing COVID-19 mindless protocols and heartless protocols towards the Bemidji people. So he's off the map right now. So I went to school with Pintard, right, for a brief stint. And so let's compare Pintard with Brave. They are both, they seem to be men of action. And so we must juxtapose oratory skills with charisma. Shenandoah Cartwright lacks charisma. Me as an old, as a 58-year-old, I look for these, like I said, oratory skills and charisma go together. You cannot enthuse people without a certain degree of oratory skills. Brave Davis is a great orator, but he's calm and he's different. But Michael Pintard is more louder and much more audacious, etc. And I think he has the capability. But that's Pumpkin who called, right? Pumpkin made something that should come before what I say. You need the money because you know the people in the ghetto go, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants something for something. But we must face the facts that another person, too, who I think is real to me, maybe it was Dwayne Sands, even though I disagree with him a lot of following these subservient, mindless pandemic protocols that mashed the country right into the ground. And the former PM, that's my boy, but the statement he made that they haven't done anything, and I'm not a PLP, I never voted for PLP in my life, but what I'm saying is the fact that Mr. Davis opened up the economy and those people who call him trying to mitigate for the former PM, which I thought was heartless, you see the difference with Commonwealth Bank income and other periphery businesses starting to survive now. People are starting to make money. But under the former PM, it seems as if he was willing to follow the global order right down to the T. Bless up.
Thank you, 52. Thank you, 52.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes.
If I could,
please.
I wanted to bring up a couple of things very quickly.
Yeah.
We spoke about the ages of leaders.
Yeah.
Just so that persons are aware, current U.S. President Joe Biden is currently 79 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And our Prime Minister, Mr. Philip Brave Davis, is 71 years old.
Yeah.
So if we have a four-year term for Mr. Biden, he would be, I think, 81 at the time of the next election.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Mr. Davis, he would be in 4 years, 75.
Right. And that's a big difference, right? But they both of them still in the Three Score and Ten Gang.
Yeah.
You know, and so we could sort of make the difference between the two of them. The question is this a, you know, is it fair to say this is no country for old men? We need younger people at the table who will live the consequences of, you know, who will have to live through the consequences of their decisions. And
see, young people have been asking that about climate change policy for the longest, right?
Right.
We're here looking at the world on fire and thinking, man, these guys are making these short-term lateral moves on climate, the big boys and players, and we have to reap the consequences of that. Seems unfair, but it
absolutely
is what it is.
Two things I want to say quickly. I don't know who is funding the FNM. I don't know nothing. I don't even know who funded me. I don't know these things, and I appreciate people calling in and saying what they think. But let's remember, did we put an opinion on the table, and people just get touches about their monies. The second thing is this, you know, the question of whether Pintard can hold the helm, can hold the leadership of the FNM heading into the 2026 election, I think is also predicated partly or informed partly by the PLP's plan for 2026 and whether they intend to keep Prime Minister Davis at the helm. Do you think the PLP has a succession plan? Is this question...
Have they ever?
Is this question of Pintard's ability to hold the helm an indicator that the FNM do not have a secession plan? And to that extent, is the entire country, is the process of governance negatively impacted dysfunctional political environment? Because if you don't have secession planning in politics, then surely you don't have secession planning in governance. We got to go to a break, Mr. Brannon. And to the caller, please hold the line. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Fidelity, we're good for you. We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Bahamas, it's time for the third installment of Fish Fry Fridays, the hottest once-a-month after-work party, brought to you by Fassage, the Bahamas' number one party band, Star 106, and Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Fish Fry Fridays has quickly become the talk of the town, and because of such a super large turnout the last time, the venue has been expanded to enhance your enjoyment experience.
I go drink water and mind my business.
It's a happy hour like no other. So on Friday, August 26th, after work, kick off your shoes and head over to the 12 Volt Bar at the beautiful Margaritaville Resort, downtown Nassau, and enjoy the Fish Fry Friday experience with the dynamic, energetic live sound of Visage and DJ AI. Admission is $25 and includes one free complimentary drink, or enjoy the tantalizing Vacation Cafe Buffet with full access to the event for only $55 per person. Tune in to Star 106 for more details. Fish Fry Fridays!
Hello, Keisha, you something else, boy. Who this is? Tamika? You ain't even remember my name? Wildred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, let me get a vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding none under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Love the sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. As you can hear by my voice, we are quickly coming to the end of the show. Mr. Brannon, I've got a caller, I've got a ton of texts, and then I've got some more questions for you. Let's go to the caller first, if you don't mind. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning to you, Erin Green and Mr. Brannon, Jay. This is Sialan Johnson.
Good morning.
Just let me first say there's no real difference between the TLP and FNM except for fiscal policy execution. Mm-hmm. Basically, they've always maintained each other's processes. You know, they say this is bad for you. They've never repealed, recalled, or do anything that they said was bad or they would have done differently. So you remember now, the dissident aide came, informed the FNM, said that they were left the TLP because the TLP itself is no longer following the ideas of the original, they originally believed. Then they began this merger with the, what we now call the former UBPs and others, who then you saw this merger of these two fiscal policy or financing, where one used almost like a trickle-down type of economics. The TLP said they built from the bottom up and middle out, but we have not really seen that since Lyndon Pinlan. Now, when you talk about the third parties, I think the problem that you'll see is that the fiscal position we're in makes the environment ideal for a third party, but they cannot come and mimic the two other parties. 70% of the population in the next election would have been born post-1981. So the problem is that you're even seeing these new political parties begin to use social media and the digital media. They've moved away from the major media and campaigning and even the major running around. So essentially, whatever leadership of any third party or any third voice, individually or collectively, has to be able to have a peer-to-peer conversation utilizing the language and the platforms and the developmental tools that they intend to use and have buy-in and comprehension for those individuals to become embedded or ingratiated to that party over at least a two-year or so process. So they could be tested, they could be engaged, they could be whatever. So I think the vineyard is ripe. The question is, mm-hmm. is there young leadership that understands the developmental needs of the 21st century that the Bahamas needs to engage?
Wow. Yep. I think so. Thank you, C. Allen Johnson. Wow. Mr. Brennan.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. A whole show, a whole conversation. And I love it. Thank you, C. Allen Johnson. So I have a text here. And I have to say to the texter, didn't you know that I am a boy and a gay? That's my heritage on my maternal side. So I hesitate when reading this text. Most of all, because I personally cannot verify it, although a number of people have called into the show today and have said essentially the same thing. The text says, Aaron, the PLP party has never fractioned. They just throw Papa and Christie out for disloyalty. And then the text goes on to say, Aaron, you never heard of Miss Carol Boyd Hallett, U.S. ambassador who captained a DEA jet? Aaron, that tells me she was an agent to be able to fly that jet. Then she was disrespectful to Pinling. There's so much history that we need to delve through. There's so much that we need to know and to be able to delve through. Another text, great show as usual, Ms. Green. I think me and you will call cause in-house fights in two parties today, everyone looking at each other within the party sideways. One thing I do know is true. I've never been inside one of these parties, but there's a lot of introspection and reflection that they need. Because they want to lead the entire country. And what we see is that their internal politics, dynamics, and functions or dysfunctions are imported directly into governance and our experience as citizens. And now I've got some texts that I promised to read from yesterday's show. The first text says, all former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham was saying that was that my Negro New Day PLP government fun zone is done. Do you understand that their honeymoon is just about over? Enough is enough. My New Day Kaufman, what I supported already, did too much damage. In their first 11 months, ain't nothing changed. Still about friends, family, and lovers, and procurement. And that text actually preempted the question for today, Jace, about the PLP's performance as we approach the one-year mark. But I am decided, I mean, I'm completely and totally out of time. Another text said that Mr. Ingraham is the Michael Jordan of politics. And then I have a text that says, we should clone Papa and let the clone lead. And in fact, yesterday's show, I had a story about attempts to reanimate or bring back to life the Tasmanian devil. And I wondered who that company was and could we put them in the stop list because we don't need to be resurrecting any old politicians or politics.
Please, no.
In this country right about now. Mr. Brennan, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. I want to thank the audience, the listeners, the callers, the texters for joining me. It's a conversation that I wanted to have and that I wanted to have with you for a very long time. Spectrum Politics is doing a great job expanding the way that we interrogate and talk about politics and governance in the Bahamas. And so I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.